Right.
Well, good morning. Good to see the Owens here, friends of mine from the bowling world. So happy to have you guys with us this morning. That was a nice surprise. Good to see everyone here. Wadsworth. Hey, you guys are, can y'all be considered visitors if you're here more than 10 times? I don't think that counts anymore. But Shannon, good to see you this morning as well. So good to have you here. Turn to Revelation chapter 2. We're gonna have a little thought this morning from Revelation. It is Memorial Day weekend, and I hope that you've taught your kids and your grandkids the importance of this particular holiday. It is a very important time, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. There was we had a chance to play golf yesterday, and it reminded me of this story. There was an 80-year-old who loved to play golf. It was one of his favorite things to do, and he's a pretty good golfer, you know. But the problem was he couldn't see very good anymore. And so he'd hit the ball, and he knew he hit it pretty solid, but he just didn't know where it went. And so he started getting more and more frustrated at the fact that he thought he'd hit a good shot and he couldn't find it. So he talked to the golf pro one day, and the golf pro says, "Well, you know what? There's a guy that was in here the other day. He's 90 years old, and he's physically unable to play. Yet he's sharp as a tack. He's got eagle eyes. So I'll hook you guys up, and you guys can play together. I mean, he won't be able to hit the ball, but I mean, you know, he can at least watch you hit the ball." And so the guy goes, "Okay." So the next day they hook up, and here's this 90-year-old and this 80-year-old, and the 90-year-old has a hard time even kind of getting up where he looks, and he's kind of, you know, motoring and looking. So the 80-year-old's like, "You ready?" He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Whoosh," and he hits the shot. He goes, "You see it?" He goes, "Got it." So he's like, "Sweet." And so they talk a little bit, get into the golf cart, start taking on down and getting closer and closer. And finally, the 80-year-old looks at the 90-year-old and goes, where's the ball? And he goes, "I forgot." So, you know, I don't know if it's worse to be blind or for forgetting, right? So we get to a point in life where there's oftentimes when we forget things that are important to us. The older I get, the more I remember certain things years and years ago, but things that I forgot maybe a month ago or 2 months ago. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but there's some things that I get frustrated that I don't remember. You know, remembering is an important part of our life. Memorial Day weekend, you know, I looked up memorials on the internet. And based on memorials or monuments, there's basically 26. And another website had 32, but there's certain memorials. I think you'll recognize a few of these. The Washington Monument, the Washington Memorial. You know, it was built to remember an incredible president, George Washington, our first president, and what he did for this country. Another memorial, another monument, is the Abraham Lincoln Memorial, the monument that was built for him. To remember him, to remember what he did, you know, during the Civil War, the rights that were given to many Americans. That was a tough place to be. And we remember our veterans, right? We remember those this day that have fought for this country. It's a Memorial Day. You know, the flags are up down the road. Over 3,000, I believe they said this year. If you've never been there and done that, to go to the what's it? Floral Haven, yeah, I almost drew a blank. See, memory. Floral Haven's got all the flags up, and it's a wonderful thing. But after Abraham Lincoln, I looked up and I saw the World War II Memorial, and we have very few of our soldiers left that fought in World War II. You know, little by little by little, we're losing most of those soldiers and those veterans. And then you actually have the Vietnam War Memorial. And that is a little closer to home because we have, I was hoping Michael Ayers would be here this morning, but he's not. He fought, you know, in the Vietnam War. I was going through the directory looking. I don't think anybody else fought in that particular war. So when we think about remembering, right, we think about those who have fought for our freedoms. We think about those who we love and cherish, and sometimes we have that moment in time where we remember them. But we have holidays, right? We have this Memorial Day. We just 2 weeks ago had Mother's Day. I appreciate Kelly filling in last week that we were out of town, and I was out of town. But the last time I preached, it was Mother's Day, and we think about our mothers, right? We remember what it is that makes them special. And in just a few weeks, we'll have Father's Day. A few weeks after that, we'll have July 4th. Not that long after that, you know, we have Labor Day, and we have all these holidays, and they're set for us to remember. We do Christmas to remember Jesus' birth. We do Easter to remember not only his life and his death, but his resurrection. So we have these moments set up. You know, individually, we remember birthdays. Hopefully, we remember birthdays. And we have alarms set, or we have calendars set for anniversaries, right? Guys, that's an important thing to remember, anniversaries, and not forget those, because those are important days. Facebook has a feature called On This Day. And it's set up, I'm not a Facebooker, but Karen is, but 1 year, something happens a year ago, and it shows up on Facebook. And Karen will say, do you realize that 5 years ago we did this project, or 3 years ago we did that? And it's on this day, so many years ago, these features show up. Why? To help us remember. Right? We all need help remembering. And God understands the importance of our remembering, right? Because memorials have always been important to God, because God understands the importance of remembering. The Israelites became slaves in the land of Egypt. Do you remember why they became slaves in the land of Egypt? Because somebody forgot. Exodus opens up. Exodus begins and says that there arose a Pharaoh in the land of Egypt that forgot who Joseph was. I mean, Joseph does this incredible thing for Egypt. He saves Egypt. He saves basically the future Israel. He saves the land, right? Because of his interpretation of those dreams. But Exodus begins and says, hey, you know what? They forgot who Joseph was. And because they forgot who Joseph was, Jacob and his family moved into the land of Goshen. And they get and they start to grow and multiply and exceedingly, they have a lot of kids, right? That's what happens. So they have all this ancestry and numbers, and people are there, and all of a sudden these Egyptians go, woof, you know, there's too many of those guys. If enemies come and show up, they're going to join them and we're going to be in trouble. So they enslave them. So we fast forward like 400 years later. 400 years later, God wants to free his people, right? And so he sends Moses. And he sends Moses to be with his people. And he says, you know, it's important, it's extremely important that my people get to go to the promised land. Right before the 10th plague, we understand the 10 plagues were signs, they were miracles that God used to show not only the Egyptians, but more importantly, to show the Israelites that God was with them. And he wanted them to remember. And so if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 3, God establishes this Passover feast, right? And so he writes these words to help the Israelites remember. He says, don't eat it with bread made with yeast, but for seven days, eat unleavened bread, the bread of affliction, because you left Egypt in haste, so that all the days of your life you may remember. All the days of your life you may remember the time of your departure from Egypt. So he gave them the Passover feast. It was something that they celebrated yearly. It was important. It was important to their children and their grandchildren. And they would sit around the fires and they would sit around their houses. And as they ate the Passover, they would tell the story. It's important for us to tell the story. That's what Hannah's doing right now in the back with kids and grandchildren. She's reminding our children and grandchildren during this Bible of the stories of Scripture. We're about to embark on the summer characters from the Bible. It's important to remember these heroes of faith. We need to remember. Fast forward about 40 years, though, right? And Joshua is now going to lead the Israelites. They depart from Egypt. Now they're about to cross over the Jordan River to fight in the Battle of Jericho. Hunter just read the passage from Joshua chapter 4. But it says, starting in verse 6, what is it there to do? Right? These stones. I want you to get 12 stones, get 12 men from the 12 tribes to get 12 stones and make an altar. A memorial, right? To serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed the Jordan. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So the story is supposed to be continually told. When you're going across to go across the Jordan River and you see this big pile of stones, you can remind your children, hey, you know what? God did some spectacular, miraculous things for the Israelites. Fast forward to Jesus. Jesus and his apostles are eating the Passover feast. Not in haste, not a drive up. They didn't get their camels and go through the Passover feast aisle, right? They took the time to go and prepare for the feast. It was a big deal to remind themselves of the Passover. And during that time, as they are talking, I'm sure, and telling the stories, Jesus says, well, I want to establish a new story with you. I want to establish a new remembrance for you. From now on, when you participate in this feast, as we did this morning, I want you to remember my death. I want you to remember my body. I want you to remember my blood. Because it's important for you to remember. It's important for all of us to remember the things that are important. So fast forward to us. Fast forward to us. When we committed ourselves to follow Christ. I think that's important. August 27th, 1973. That was the day that my dad, my mom, my sister, and myself left the world, right? Kind of a rough scenario growing up. I mean, you go from the alcoholic father, the jerk of a dad. He's getting more that way as he gets older too. But go back to this conversion. Shh. Yeah, he doesn't listen to these. He knows. We lived a different life, right? We lived a different life. Incredible difference growing up from the time of giving our lives to Christ. Totally different world. I joke, I think I've said it probably from the pulpit before, but you know, I'd always heard Jesus' name, just not in that context. You know, we always heard, you know, I thought for a long time my name was Jesus Christ, right? Because my dad would get mad and go, Jesus Christ, you know? And so, you know, taking that name wrongly, not saying it the way it was, it wasn't a prayer, you know? I mean, I remember praying as a kid when my dad got mad, but yeah, those were things that were important. But do we remember the day that we were converted? Do we remember the day? Is that an important time in our life? Because it should be a monstrous difference, a change in our life. In our text today, Jesus is reminding the church in Ephesus of their commitment. And he has some wonderful things to say about this particular church in Ephesus. They're doing some wonderful things. But then he also has something against them. Let's read together in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Because it's a commitment that they made at the beginning that they've now forgotten, that they've forsaken. And I think it's perfect for what we're talking about this morning. So, John writes, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and you have found them false. You have persevered. You've endured hardships for my name. You've not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you, he says. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you've fallen. Repent, metanoia. Do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Now, in the New International Version, you have this word consider. In almost every other version, right, it says remember. It is the word for remember. In fact, the Greek word literally means to be mindful of, to remember, to call to mind, to hold in memory. So he says, hey, you need to consider, right? You need to consider. You need to remember what it is that you had at first. You've forgotten. You're doing some really good things, but you've forgotten your first love. And it's a serious memory problem because if they don't remember, he's going to remove the lampstand from its place. In other words, whatever it is they've forgotten, right? Whatever it is that the Ephesians have forgotten, they desperately need to remember it. And so that's the urging of John in this letter. The question is, what have they forgotten? What's important for them to remember? I mean, number one, have they forgotten to take care of the poor or the needy? Have they forgotten to do these incredible good works? It doesn't appear so because the first part of verse 2 says, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. It's like they're doing all the right kinds of stuff. They're loving on people. They're probably taking meals to those that need it. They're maybe helping build houses. They're going out in the fields and helping people work together. They're doing hard work. They're doing those deeds. They're persevering. Had they forgotten the truth? Maybe that's it. They forgot the truth that they are allowing false teachers. Maybe that's what doesn't seem to be, because the second part of verse 2 says, I know you can't tolerate wicked people. I know that you've tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. So, okay, well, maybe kind of like in Hebrews, right? We're going to begin our summer study on Hebrews. Not this particular Wednesday night, but the following is when we're going to really start the 13 lessons from Hebrews. Hebrews were... we're struggling with perseverance and endurance. You know, one of the messages of Hebrews is hold on. You know, grab hold of it and hang on to what you have. But the verse 3 in Revelation 2 says, you've persevered, you've endured hardships for my name. You've not grown weary. Is that not a great resume as a church? You're doing good works, you're doing good deeds. Right, you've done those things. You're not allowing people to come in and teach false teaching. You're not allowing them to come in and say things that aren't true. You've upheld the truth. You've persevered. When struggles come your way, you hold on. You've done everything you're supposed to do. That sounds like a great resume for a great church, that they've done everything that they're supposed to have been doing, except for this particular thing. They've forsaken their first love. This word forsaken in the Greek means, it describes a husband walking away from his wife, which is apropos because he's talking to the bride, right? The Ephesians, the church is the bride, and he's the groom. And he's using a word that says, you know what, it's kind of like this husband who absolutely loves his wife. And the way he's shown that is by just doing incredible things for them all the time. Just doing, you know, mowing the yard and doing the dishes and doing all these wonderful deeds and persevering and doing what's supposed to happen and doesn't let things happen in their household that's untruth. And he's not being unfaithful. But where's the love? It seems to be that there's no love any longer. That the relationship that was founded on love, founded on commitment, is not being nurtured the way it was. This word means to depart, neglect, and disregard. The text doesn't say exactly what forsaking is, but if you go back to Acts 19, right, in Acts chapter 19, Paul's on his second missionary journey. He shows up, he's in Ephesus. He's there about 2 years, according to the scriptures. And he develops this incredible relationship with the Ephesians, right? He's there, he's hanging out with them, he's spending time with them, he establishes this church. And some really cool things are happening. Look at Acts 19, 11 through 20. All right, we've got it on the screen. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick. Their illnesses were cured. The evil spirits left them, okay? For the sake of those visiting, I have this dream about heaven. Right, it's my thought, and I'm sure it's not going to happen. But I like this idea of Friday night videos. Right, on Friday nights, God is going to put the big screen up. It's going to be lifelike, and we're somehow going to be transported. And on Friday night, we're going to have the best popcorn ever, and we're going to get to see all the things that happened in the Bible, like the parting of the Red Sea, things like that. This would be a great Friday night video right here. Okay, this would be so good because the evil spirits are being taken out of these bodies. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon possessed. This would have been kind of a fun thing. They would say, in the name of the Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered them. And I'm going to do my best evil spirit voice. Jesus, I know. It needs to be more like that, right? And Paul, I know. But who are you? That would have been cool. I mean, the exorcist, this is the original version, right? And so here's these sons of Sceva, and they come up to this evil spirit, and they're like, we cast you out. And he's like, I don't know you. You know, that's more like Batman, isn't it? Okay, so you get the Batman voice. I can't do it. I just don't see an evil spirit going, I don't know you. You know, it just doesn't work for me. So whatever, Friday night video, we're going to watch this. And so here's what he says. The man who had the evil spirit jumped on them, overpowers them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Okay, X-rated version in heaven. I'm sure they'll have a... It'll be furry and fuzzy, and you'll have to see that. Fuzzy, furry, one of those words. Okay, and so they run out, right? Great Friday night video. But the point is, this is Ephesus. This is what's taking place in Ephesus. All these things are taking place, and the people are actually getting to see all of these miracles and seeing what's happening. And when this became known to the Jews and the Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear. And the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came, openly confessed what they had done. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. 50,000 drachmas. Now, that's a Greek coin. You've heard of the denarius, right? We talk about a denarius. It's kind of like a day's wages. The denarius was a Roman coin. The drachma was a Greek coin, but basically the same. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. So all of these things are happening. All this stuff is taking place, and people are going, whoa, right? Fearfully responding, but also amazingly responding. And they sell their scrolls. Well, they don't sell their scrolls. They burn their scrolls. 50,000 drachmas, a silver coin equal to a day's wage. If you made $100 a day in our day and time, 50,000 drachmas is $5 million. So the church there in Ephesus began miraculously. There's a little fear that takes place because of the things that are going on in this evil spirit scenario. But when they made a decision to follow Christ, they put their money where their mouth was. They said, you know what? We're not going to go sell them to other people. We're not going to make $5 million. We're just going to go burn these things. We're going to get rid of them. We're going to totally dedicate our lives to following Jesus Christ. That's how the church in Ephesus began. I mean, to me, that means a lot. Because it shows that they had this understanding of Jesus. They had this feeling that whatever they had in their life that was in contrast to the life that they needed to live for Jesus Christ, they were going to get rid of it. We oftentimes play around with the world, don't we? We kind of, you know, well, I know I shouldn't probably do that, but, you know, I'll kind of, and we wallow about. We don't destroy things. I remember Karen and I, one time we did a deal in Sweetwater. Leanne and Connor, well, Connor wasn't from Sweetwater. Leanne, they're our guests. And Leanne was in our youth group. Right at the time, I don't know if you remember this or not, but we burned the CDs, right? So we had a burning of our own. We thought, hey, you know what would be cool? You guys get all the movies that you know that aren't valuable in your life. You get all the CDs, you get all the music, you get all that. We're going to have a bonfire in the back of the youth house. We had a pit dug. Do you remember that? And we would listen to silly stories and do crazy stuff, but we burned stuff. It was great. And so we had all the kids bring their things, and some of the adults got really mad. Some of the parents got mad at us and said, what in the world are you teaching our kids? And we're like, something that came from the Bible. I mean, they burned their stuff. Well, we paid good money for those things. I was like, yeah, but it's trash. It's garbage. It's R-rated movies and They dropped some pretty horrendous language in some of these CDs. Why would you want your kids to keep them? Well, we could probably sell them. No, they burned them in Ephesus. We're going to do what they did. And so we did. And the kids thought it was great. I get to burn this stuff, you know. But it was important that we said to them the same thing that the Ephesians did. to say, I love God enough that if it costs me something, I'm willing to pay for it. I'm going to do what it takes to follow Jesus. And it seems as if that they, the Ephesians, in that letter that Paul writes, or that John writes them, is saying to them, you've forgotten the love that you had at first. You're not willing to sacrifice. I mean, you're doing a lot of really cool things. Don't get me wrong, because he says, I'll give you credit for doing what's right and for persevering and for going against false teachers. But where's your relationship with Jesus at right now? Are you doing what you're doing because you've always done it? Are you doing it because of this love that you have for Jesus? It's the motivation for doing that. As Matt just said in his prayer a minute ago, when we contribute money, help us to contribute this money, not because you commanded us to, because we want to. Because we love you. We want to give our money to you. We want to make these sacrifices because of the relationship that we have. The relationship with Christ is the most important part. You know, Open Door can have programs galore. I mean, we can do incredible things. We can, you know, hey, let's have an alcohol abuse program that we come in and we help those folks overcome their addictions, or maybe it's drug addiction, and that would be a great program. There's lots and lots of things that we can do. We could have seminars on how to have a better marriage. We could have seminars on how to deal with grief. We could have seminars on all kinds of different things. There's all kinds of things that other churches are doing as well. I'm not saying any of those things are bad, but what I'm saying is if we do all of these programs and we do all of this work and we put all of our time and energy into doing all of these things, and yet we don't have a relationship with Jesus, it's worthless. God's going to come in and remove our lampstand. Right? Because that's what's the light to the community, is the relationship that you have with Jesus. Craig Rochelle wrote a book called It. Craig Rochelle, if you don't know, basically started Life Church and started in his garage, and now it's, you know, worldwide and all over, especially the United States. But he wrote a book called It. It's a great book. And it talks about what it is that helps a church be a church, that makes people want to come back. Do you have it? And he says, I can't necessarily define it, but you need to discover it if you want to grow. I think it's where we do life together, right? This is where we are as a congregation. But because of our love for one another, that's a big part of what makes Open Door Open Door. Because we actually care about one another and we care about Jesus. And we want to continually help you understand the importance of that love. In the book, there's a story of a preacher who was bragging to Rochelle about the 184 ministries that their congregation was involved in. And Rochelle's like, wow, 184 ministries. Ernie's a retired pastor, so he has lots of ministry, lots of ideas, right, going along. But if we don't preach Jesus, that's kind of worthless, isn't it? If we're not preaching Jesus in a relationship with Him, if that's not your foremost and most important part of your life, to have this relationship with Christ and to build on that relationship outside of these walls, then we haven't done our job. Because we have a mission statement that we've put together here at Open Door. And it's to be a place where love works, right? But it's to inspire others to love. That's what this story is about. That's what remembering is, that we remember to love Christ and inspire everyone else around us to love in that exact same way. It's not about programs and works. It's about having a committed relationship with Christ. The guy in the story, Rochelle, said, hey, so you got 184 ministries. That's incredible. Your congregation must be booming. Well, no, not really. It's like we've gone from 1,500 to 800. And he's like, well, wait a minute. You've got all these ministries. Yeah, well, you know, I guess our folks are wore out. Gershel's thought was, maybe you need to go back to basics and help people connect with Jesus Christ to develop this relationship based on this passage from Revelation chapter 2. You know, there's a passage in Ephesians 4, right? This other book that was written to the church in Ephesus. And in Ephesians 4:15, it says, speak the truth in love. It's a verse that I use quite often, because when we're talking to others about Jesus Christ and about our relationship, we need to speak the truth, which is Jesus, but do it with love. They need to go back to understanding this love relationship. There's a lot in Ephesians about love. Growing closer to Jesus produces the love to save a lost world. Right? having a relationship with Jesus, growing closer to Him, will produce the love to make a difference in our families, to make a difference in our communities, you know, to be a better husband or a better wife or to be a better parent. Or it's the love that motivates us. And the cross, let's never forget what the cross is all about. We see the cross often, right? It's a reminder of the love that God showed for us. It's a symbol of hope. It's a symbol of promise. And the cross is a reminder that God wants a relationship with us. That great passage of Scripture, "For God so loved the world," right, that He gave His one and only Son. It's because of His love for us, and then we reciprocate that love to Him. And we need to always go back to that. Don't get so caught up in doing stuff that you forget the reason for the doing and the reason for the relationship to begin with. I think that's important for us to remember. So you have all day tomorrow, right, to remember these soldiers that have done so much for this country. But don't forget Jesus did a lot for us too. He was a soldier of the cross. I mean, he was a little bit different in His sacrifice for us. And He talks about us being workmen and talking about us being soldiers in that regard and putting on the armor of God. And so we need to remember the cross as well tomorrow. I don't know if you have anything on your heart or your mind. We're going to have an invitation song. We usually pray for you or if there's anything that we can do for you this morning. But Jim's got a song for us this morning. If there's something that's on your heart, please let us know. And we'll